always a pleasure to be here today. So what I'm looking at is in established home visiting programs, what are the administrators of those programs' interest level in creating program enhancements that target fathers for greater participation? I have no disclosures, no relationships to disclose. And then just, I'm going to go through this a little quick because I suspect lots of us probably know about this, but home visiting is usually weekly or biweekly visits by a trained home visitor, often combined with other services, to usually new moms, young moms, teen moms, social support, parenting education, typical structure of a home visit. Mom comes in, the visitor comes in, talks to mom, sees how things are going. There's a curricular component, usually based on the age of the child. There's a parent-child interaction activity where mom and the home visitor stretch out on the living room carpet and play with the baby together, and mom learns about what the baby can do. And then there's a consolidation of learning and kind of planning for the next visit. So if you're familiar with the home visiting evidence base, there are, through research synthesis, we know that there are a positive but fairly small and sometimes inconsistent effects of home visiting in areas like child maltreatment, child development outcomes, maternal behavior outcomes. There's really some great research suggesting that the theory of change of home visiting really has to be alive in the programs to see the good outcomes that we want to see. So if you're familiar with the recent expansion in home visiting, we kind of went through the Great Recession, programs plummeted, then the Affordable Care Act and McPhee picked them right back up. And now local health departments have gotten more involved than ever in early childhood home visiting. So the models that I study are mostly paraprofessional or early professional models, Parents as Teachers and Healthy Families America. So again, when we look at the evidence base of them, Cochrane Views had difficulty evaluating these program models. The Child Welfare Evidence Based Clearinghouse finds healthy families as well supported for child well-being, not as well supported for child maltreatment prevention. Parents as Teachers is considered promising for child well-being. And so, if you look at the number of studies that's been done, a lot of studies, not always the same number of positive outcomes that we would hope to see. What this kind of suggests is we already have home visiting pretty widely disseminated, but there's not a lot of change we're likely to make at this point. So this elaborate graphic that took me forever to make basically shows you a little bit of my sample. I'm in a large Midwestern state. I have a statewide training network. Those trainers, technical assistants, work with all kinds of programs on the ground, including the program directors and program supervisors. In this study, I don't talk to the home visitors themselves or the families, but you get a sense of how the knowledge is transferred in the program. And so the identified problem that I'm most focused with is we already know these programs are widely disseminated. We know that they're hard to implement fluidly or perfectly. And so really the question is, can we add things to these programs to get additional goals like improving paternal involvement? And then the question becomes kind of definition. Do we want to include fathers in home visiting as usual? Do we want to create special groups or special services just for fathers? And really the problem is in defining father involvement. Is it just that they participate in a home visit? Is it that we're able to collect other data on them? So my most recent study that I did with Matthew Thullen at University of Missouri was about just what is baseline father involvement in home visiting when there's not a father participation enhancement. And really what we found is about half the moms had the fathers involved in a home visit. The home part of home visit was the challenge. If you're working with a population where the parents aren't married, the father does not live with the mother, it's actually harder to catch dad at home. So really the goal of this study was kind of very exploratory. Given how much funding has come into home visiting, given how much we don't know about father involvement, what are administrator perspectives on what father involvement has been and could be? And so in my sample, I really wanted to look at the state level program model decision makers and also the program directors and supervisors on the ground at the local level. And really just trying to add to the knowledge base for what the infrastructure looks like in these evidence-based programs, and really help get a handle on what program enhancements for fathers could look like. So the method I used was in-depth, semi-structured qualitative interviews, audio taped and transcribed. In the sample, the statewide network and program model supervisors, directors, trainers, there were only 15 of them. All of them talked to me, which was wonderful. And then for programs on the ground, I had 19 local program departments and supervisors. And in this point, I had lots of intuitive stage-by-stage coding, just really looking, since this was exploratory work, on distinctive and salient themes on how they answered the questions. So just moving into my findings, really quickly, the overview, most of the respondents I talked to were familiar with father enhancements as a program enhancement for home visiting. Very few of them, though, had direct experience with father enhancements. Those that did had the experience of a single male home visitor who either led father groups or went on home visits to homes that had fathers. Two of the trainers at the state level had been male home visitors. Many of these programs served teen parents as their focus. The program supervisors tend to be interested in father enhancements, but also saw that there were other services out there. So the three main themes that I want to present are related to the gender of the staff doing this work, the population that they were serving, and then the needs of the home visiting program itself. When I look at the gender of the staff, it was framed as both a possible concern or impediment, but as an assumed requirement, that if you wanted father enhancement programs, you were hiring male staff. And so, a training manager mentioned that her goal was to get more males involved, more male staff in home visiting. She really saw this as male staff doing home visiting as usual, changing the culture of how we look at men doing this kind of work. So she certainly, though, there was this recognition that male staff were kind of valuable as father staff, even if they could do home visiting as usual. There was a lot of recognition that just very few male staff for home visiting tended to be available. So one suburban program in a local health department said, we've never had a man apply, so it was kind of a moot issue. Some of the men who had been involved as home visitors said, being a guy in the profession, not many of us around, kind of hard not to focus on fathers given how rare male staff was. But then just noticed, acknowledged he did do regular home visits too. Another concern was just that in the population that you're serving, if you're working with teen parents, just to be really sensitive of what it was like to have a man external to the household coming into the household to talk to that teen mom. So kind of a sense that there have been male home visitors, it worked okay, and a recognition not a lot of male staff to go around. So this idea of the population that you were serving really emerged as an important theme. This idea that most of the clients that many of these programs were serving, the moms were unmarried minors, still dependent on and living with their moms, both in terms of practical concerns, TANF policy, and so father enhancements really had to be designed around this program. So one female healthy family supervisor said that the men, the fathers of the babies, needed examples of father figures themselves, how to instruct the men to be fathers, really recognizing a gender barrier there. Women cannot tell a man how to be a father, how to be a man. Also concerned with the population, that if the moms in the program were girls who had been sexually abused, have not had good relationships with men, there was concern that that would not go well for male staff, that the staff had to be fit to the person, to the population. Talking more on targeting, this one healthy family supervisor got really reflective and said, I've considered this many times, played it out in my head intellectually, they've got a different perspective, they could do the job just as well, why not? Then I have to come back to reality, which is these are teenage girls with boyfriends, maybe husbands, most of these relationships are dysfunctional already, racked with jealousy already, lots of issues culturally, and you really can't send a man into a teen girl if she's the only one in the home. That would be a big problem, especially an outside man coming into the home. Now, the idea of hiring male staff to do father's group, if I had fundings for that, I would do that. I would love to see a group for males run by a male because that's the person who has the credibility to do that. So this idea of how do we structure the father enhancement was the next big theme, and that the funding and regulatory requirements of father enhancements as they had existed so far were really seen as a barrier. So I do a lot of my work in hospitals, anything in a hospital. They bill for everything. Young fathers tend not to have a medical card, would never be billable for the hospital. No program is going to be designed for them. Another concern with kind of my home visiting roller coaster, the Great Recession, programs closing, McVee bringing them right back up, when we had layoffs, anybody who wasn't a direct home visitor were the people who got laid off, especially the assessment workers, the doulas, the other program enhancements. Those were the ones that were vulnerable compared to the regular home visitors. Another person who had experience with fathering enhancement said that the home visitor for fathers was an extra support person who could come out on home visits and meet with fathers in those homes. They tried to have groups. Attendance was hard. Funding was so up and down. One program had just gotten up and going with their father enhancement. Then the funding got cut, and the reaction was, nah, we really don't want to do that yet. Another issue of funding needs. One program that was a combination of Healthy Families, Parents as Teachers, other models, got this great federal grant, just money dropping down in the sky. The benefit was we got all this money. The downside was very, very restrictive. It didn't help us much after the first year. You could only do 10 dads at a time for 10 to 12 weeks. The next 10 weeks had to be 10 different dads. They had to be living in the home with the mother and the child, and this was about 9% of their population. And also just real concern and getting participation over time at that rate. So now just to discuss a little bit some of the findings here, I think gender loomed large as kind of an issue for father enhancements in home visiting. Just the baseline barrier of just very few men are involved in home visiting professionally, and that women are primarily the client, primary client, and just some acknowledgement that some of the trainers have been home visitors. One limitation here is I didn't get to talk to home visitors or mothers and fathers in this study. I think the targeting became really important, and really what emerged from this is this idea that father enhancements were one type of enhancement compared to what else is out there. Teen parents who tend not to have fathers in living with the mothers in the home were seen as a different type of enhancement, even maternal grandmother and enhancements and engagements as the person most immediately involved other than the mother in the program. There's some programmatic rivalry that if you have extra money, do you give it to fathers, do you give it to these other groups or program enhancements? And then lastly, stability and consistency of funding, even more than an increase in funding, seemed to be a really important thing in terms of investing in father program enhancements. Just people who had experienced laying off non-home visitors were reluctant to get involved with that again. Father enhancements as being a lot of scale-up or build-up that didn't have a great return on investment, and that the grants just didn't match the reality of the population that we were serving, and sometimes concern that fathers didn't have consistent interest or significant numbers to be involved. So I'm just going to go ahead and stop there. I think I would sum up by saying that there was interest in father enhancements for the providers that I talked to. Really, the funding inconsistency meant that it could be more trouble than it was worth. And you don't often hear people in nonprofit settings turning down money. This was a case where they were interested, intrigued. If there were too many strings, it got really hard to keep them invested.